Александр Кузнецов, Галина Добровольска.
I start with describing three seemingly different things, which are but three incarnations of the same thing. The first incarnation is a space of rational functions, which was studied by Gechtmann, Shapira, and Weinstein. So they consider the set of rational functions. From P1 to P1. Just F is R over Q. These are two polynomials such that R is monic, Z to the power A plus, Q is monic. Q, whatever. One like this, and R has smaller degree. Like this, and they have to be based. That F of infinity is zero, and we see it here. Also. We want this function to be really of degree a, so that they have no common factors. They are prime. There's an open condition. The resultant of R and Q is not zero. And also, we want this function to be well defined at zero, so that Q of zero is not vanishing. That is the smallest coefficient is not vanishing. Okay, and this is our first space. Now it appears that there is a cluster structure on this space found by Gechtmann, Shapira, and Weinstein. And I will write down the initial seed. So I just take the Taylor expansion of R over Q at infinity. Like this. And then I form a big infinite Hankel matrix with these coefficients at the anti-diagonals. So it's H0, H1, H1, then H2, 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 and so on. And then I start taking its principal minors, like this. Okay, so this will be delta 1, then delta 2, delta 3, and so on, up to delta A. And also, I can shift them by 1 to the right, like this. Like this, or that, like that, and so on. So I will have delta 1 prime, delta 2 prime, and so on. And finally, I will have delta A over delta A prime. So this is my initial cluster. And in fact, this is nothing else than the resultant of R and Q.
And this is nothing but Q0. So these two are frozen variables. They are not vanishing. Okay, and now let me write down the exchange matrix. Okay, so it has zeros along the diagonal, and then twos above diagonal, negative twos here, and then negative ones on the next diagonal, ones here. And then one, two extra rows for the frozen variables. Just one, negative two, one, like this, and zeros everywhere else. Okay. Okay. So that's it. And now let me move to the second incarnation. Pardon me?
Where did the exchange matrix come from?
Well, it just says how to mutate these cluster variables. And you're asking how do they guess it, or what was the question?
Whether there's a Poisson structure on this.
Oh, so certainly there is one. Let me say what it is. Related Poisson structure. In the Hitchin coordinates. So W1 to WA are roots of Q. Yes?
Sorry, I asked sort of a stupid question because we know this already.
Yes.
It's difficult value for the dimension of this specification.
Yes.
Yes, for the dimension. That's for the condition you see all the time. The Poisson bracket is going to be the W over W, the Y over that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just that's what you say. Let me call it maybe ZA.
Yes.
And the ring of functions on ZA, or maybe let me call it XA rather, sorry. So this will be the covariant K theory. Of the affine Grassmannian of GLA.
This
is and what is interesting about it, there is a conjecture by Harold Williams and Sabin Kautis that this is a monoidal categorification. Of this Gechtmann, Shapiro, Weinstein cluster structure, meaning that you can consider the category of a covariant coherent sheaves, but it has some
exotic T structure, the perverse T structure, due to the fact that the orbits of this current group have the same parity in each connected component here. So it makes sense to consider perverse coherent sheaves. And then the irreducible perverse coherent sheaves form, their classes form a basis in this K theory. And this basis should contain all the cluster monomials in this cluster structure. Yes. So yes. So this is an isomorphism of rings. Yes. This is the equivariant K theory, the coherent equivariant K theory. So it's equivalent with convolution, and this is the same ring. So the basis of equivariant. In the initial cluster variables, all the monomials, yeah, will be some irreducible perverse sheaves. Well, that. Yes, oh, that's also true. So I then start mutating. I get new cluster variables. I take monomials in each cluster, in the corresponding cluster variables, and they are all in this. They are supposed to be all in this basis.
Laminations play any special role?
In this, I'm not sure. Well, not that I know of, at least. No. Well, irreducible, coherent. Contain all cluster monomials. Well, perhaps the only thing I can say is that these are just all lattices, and you can take a lattice c to the power a of z like this. This is our base point of the Grassmannian, but then you can multiply it by z. Okay, and this will be a point orbit here. And if you take just the structure sheaf of this point orbit, this its class will be. Will be this frozen cluster variable.
Can you say if they give you a different co-character of
PLN? Pardon me?
Can you match up co-characters of PLN and monomials? Give co-character to
characters.
Not all elements of your basis.
Right.
Plus the monomials.
Right.
When A is large, very few of them.
Yeah.
Very few of them will be. It's not, I mean, it only goes in the opposite direction.
So yeah.
Cluster monomials give you elements of this basis.
Yeah, for example, everything concentrated at the, I mean, all the irreducible representations of, of GLA concentrated at this base point will be out of the cluster, it will not be cluster monomials.
There will be laminations,
if you decompose
them into irreducibles.
Yes.
But
it will be polynomials, but not monomials.
It's
yeah.
Like, these polynomials will act like going to be laminations. You know, things that remain polynomials in all clusters.
No, I don't know. Sorry. Okay. Well, now, the third thing I promised will be the universal centralizer of GLN. Just the pairs of commuting elements, say one is regular, one is commuting with it up to conjugation, like this. And this is the, again, the same as the spectrum, just the same as XA. Okay. And so, well, this is pretty general. So for arbitrary group, or maybe, well, it's pretty general, but not quite true. This will be close to the spectrum of equivariant K-theory of the Grassmannian of G. But I think it's literally true only in this case and E8 case. But otherwise, you could rather put some G check here, dual group. It's not literally true. Okay. So I will present some generalization of this story where I will consider Bayes maps from P1 to the flag variety of higher rank group G. Then I will introduce this trigonometric Zastava. Space X alpha, where alpha is a positive root or core root combination of some group G. So it's a degree of a map from P1 to its flag variety. Okay. Well, there is a space Z alpha, just the Bayes maps from P1 to the flag variety, or in other language, it's just monopoles, Euclidean monopoles. Okay. Well, for the compact part of this complex group G, and of topological charge alpha. Eventually, this thing will be an open part in the Zastava.
It's also periodic model, right?
You mean these trigonometric? Well, maybe so. I don't know. You mean say on. S1 times S1 times R, something
but
like this?
S1 times R.
No, this, I think it's rather, I don't know. If they are periodic monopoles, then I think rather on this. Because the simplest example will be something like this for degree 1 and for SL2.
So it's
in system as R. OK, maybe I just don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe let me recall a few basic things about Zastava, the usual monopoles. Well, so See, we already had it for SL2, then the difference between XA and ZA is that I don't require this non-vanishing of the smallest coefficient of Q. These are just flags. Like line sub-bundles in the trivial two-dimensional bundle on projective line. And the based condition is that L at infinity is the standard line like this. And in general, there is a Plucker embedding of the flag variety, which implies that the alpha is also this set of collections L omega inside V omega tensor O for fundamental representations. Okay, satisfying certain Plucker relations. Okay, but then again, I can view a line subbundle in the fundamental representation just as a collection of polynomials corresponding to weight vectors, and among them. The most important role is played by the highest vector and the pre-highest vector. When I so let me call, let me have a simple root alpha I, and this is my degree, and then I will have fundamental representation omega I. It will have highest weight. Omega I and pre-highest weight omega I minus alpha I check, something like this. Maybe this should be checked too. And these lines are bundles. They give rise to polynomials. Qi, which is z to the power ai plus smaller terms, and ri corresponding to pre-highest weight okay, and then it appears that if we introduce the similar Artesian coordinates there. Just using these highest and pre-highest ones, there really will be a coordinate system. So you don't really, generically, you don't need anything else. So W, I, R, the roots of Q, I, and Y, I, R, are the values of the pre-highest polynomial there. Okay, and then we can write down again this standard symplectic form in these coordinates. Mm-hmm. So I understand it's a holomorphic symplectic form, just because the monopole moduli space is hypercolor manifold, but then it also has some modular geometric meaning from the point of view of Bayes' maps. Maybe I'll say a couple of words about it.
So when we consider the tangent space at some base map to the monopole space, then it is just the global sections of the pullback of the tangent bundle to the flag variety. But because it's based maps, we twist by negative one. And this is just some universal bundle like this over the flag variety. Okay, and the dual cotangent space just by surduality is the first cohomology with the with coefficients in pullback of cotangent bundle, which is another universal bundle like this. Okay, and then we have a three-step filtration of the universal trivial bundle on the flag variety like this. So there is this, then Borel, then this. And this three-step filtration gives rise to a spectral sequence, which gives rise to a second differential, which goes from the cotangent bundle to the tangent bundle. And this is our symplectic form. Or maybe a Poisson structure, but it's invertible. So it's symplectic form. As I said, the bivector field. Okay, so finally, let write down the explicit formula in these coordinates. So the bracket of W I R and Y J S is delta I J delta R S Y J S, and the bracket of W's is zero. And the bracket of y's, maybe here there is a one extra multiple like this, and the bracket of y coordinates is the scalar product of alpha I and alpha j. Like this, times their product like this. Okay, and all the other brackets vanish, and here I must be different from J. So in particular, pardon me? In trigonometric, we'll have a quadratic bracket, but it's so far it's for rational, for the usual monopoles, not periodic.
So does this make sense if these two pairs of indices are different from each other?
Different from what?
From each other.
Yeah, so I is not j.
I is not j.
Everything else is zero. So if they're of the same color, they commute. Like in SL2 case, there was no such term. Okay, so in particular, this means that there is a projection from Z alpha to A alpha, just roots of highest polynomials, just the W's. Like this. And this is an integrable system, so all the functions in W commutes. this sort of a T-Hitchin integrable system. Okay. Okay, in particular, dimension of the alpha is twice the length of alpha. Now let me say one more word about this Poisson structure. There are whatever slices in the affine Grassmannian. Of our group G. So what are they? Here, lambda and mu are co-weights, so they are just torus fixed points in the affine Grassmannian. And then we take G of O orbit through point lambda, and this is Gr lambda. And if we take its, it's fine. But we can take an opposite group, like this, and maybe even some the kernel of evaluation at infinity, like this, and its orbit through mu. This will be called, say, W mu, or maybe just Grassmannian mu with lower index. And then these are just intersections. So okay. Yes. Yes. So. Now, the loop algebra has a Manian triple, just G of Z plus Z inverse, G of Z inverse, like this. And this is the same as the rational R matrix. And it gives rise to Poisson structure on the Grassmannian. In this Poisson structure, those slices are examples of symplectic leaves. But there are more. You can take the opposite orbits, not necessarily through these fixed points, but through any points in the corresponding orbit. There is some sort of stabilization map. S lambda mu from these slices to Zastava, but to some closure of Zastava, where alpha is the difference of lambda and mu, or maybe twisted by the longest element in the Weyl group.
what I want to say is that this map is a birational Poisson isomorphism. This is another meaning of the Poisson structure on Zastava. Okay. Now, this trigonometric Zastava. Say it again, please.
On the left hand side, and then modalized spaces are just monopoles on the left side.
Mm-hmm.
Does this correspond to taking the smooth monopoles and bringing them away from the singularity?
Well, in monopole language, I cannot say this, but in the Coulomb branch language, this is very natural because, this birational isomorphism. Is an isomorphism over some open subsets here. Here you take just Zastava, and here you say here you take some open part, and then these will be just isomorphic, and this can be seen from Coulomb branch point of view, because. These correspond to a quiver, the gauge theory corresponding to quiver, but without framing, and this with framing. But then there will be always a homomorphism, from the where homology ring in this direction, and which gives this in this particular case. So just corresponding to for getting the framing. In the
it is on all the functions have an unmorphic direction.
Mm-hmm.
On all the functions you get natural functions in the slice depends on the
function. No, there's always
you have this isomorphism between this open subset and open subset in the mm-hmm. slice, but you will get the map between functions in the same direction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. So there's mm-hmm. a variation of isomorphism, mm-hmm. but the map is a well-defined map in this direction. For example, any gauge theory, this ring of functions of Coulomb branch for any gauge theory embeds in the ring of functions with the theory. That's
yeah, but I think the way it happens is how you move far away from the singularity. So one of the spaces. Mm-hmm. Changing the argument of Q by a constant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. Also, even better, so just rescaling
the
result.
So the fraction of
the rescaling the result, just the rescaling the result. Okay. And it's not a fast way to think about it that if I act with this transformation on
The kind of thing there is, well, it's always you start increasing lambda and mu, keeping the difference fixed. And what happens is, it's kind of true that when you go to infinity, then one becomes the other. But that's kind of, it's both true and wrong somehow, because in some sense it's true, but geometrically in terms of, usually this left-hand side becomes more and more singular.
Yeah, but you're exploring the region away from singularity. So I was just saying, if you explore the region sufficient far from the singularity, it becomes.
Frankly, I don't know how to say this. I know how to say it in the Hilbert monomorphic language, but if you have just another monopole, then that's probably my interest. If you have a monopole with singularity, I don't know how to construct a monopole without it. And the problem is that it's not. You can't really do this. Because this map really doesn't go to Zaslav and some completely.
If you give me a solution of the monopole equations without singularities,
mm-hmm.
I can say, okay, I put a singularity here, the solution of this So I can definitely map the smooth monopoles into the singular monopoles sufficiently far from the singularity. Suppose I put the singularity at the origin. Let's take this smooth monopole space and take a patch where the monopoles are inside the ball.
Okay.
Then I take the singularity here
mm-hmm.
and I place the same ball sufficiently far from the singularity.
Mm-hmm.
And this gives me a very, very good approximate solution, which I can complete with an exact solution.
Uh-huh.
And I think
maybe, I think
the level of complex manifold, then it becomes that.
Yeah, that would be, actually, I don't know if this is true. Most probably it is. Hershey mentioned several different definitions, but so the way we know about Messer is pure and algebraic, not in the monopole language.
So algebraically, I think that they're absorbing I factors.
No, of course. And, in physics, you just take an interface and you peel out that interface, and you get this correspondence.
So how the actual map is, it really goes in the opposite direction, but so now you have to complete this space of monopoles. Basically, as you can see, there are solutions for monopoles, but it's kind of like the Hilbert configurations. So now you have a lot of degenerate monopoles.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a map in the opposite direction.
From
singular monopoles to this partial quantification of the space of small monopoles.
Yeah. So there's an embedding like this.
Correspondences and includes these, and it includes the one we're discussing at lunch.
Maybe so. Now let me move to the trigonometric Zastava, or the periodic monopoles. Alpha. So there are a few definitions. One most short definition. We had there this integrable system of Atiyah-Hitchin like this. Now inside you can take the configurations which never hit zero.
Alpha.
Yes, thank you. Now just take its pre-image, and this will be trigonometric Zastava by definition. Now.
So all the Y variables, all the W variables.
Will be non-zero, yes. Uh-huh. So these lowest coefficients of Qs will be never zero. Mm-hmm. And there is also some called Coulomb branch definition. It's just as Sasha said,
Yes, right. Zastava is a Coulomb branch of a certain quiver gauge theory. Like this. This is just the equivariant Barrell-Moore homology of something. Over a fine Grassmannian. And now this will be the equivariant K theory of the same thing. In type A1 case, there was no, this N was zero. So it was just Grassmannian of GLA, and that's what we've seen in the very beginning. Okay, let me formulate yet third definition.
Can I have a question? This line,
yes. Not to me. I don't know. You mean from this definition? Yeah. No, it's not obvious to me in this language.
Somehow I have a transparent amount, which is the amount from P theory.
Yeah, but it's a covariant, so it'll be only defined in the completion, so
yeah,
I don't.
But this makes sense of what I'm saying, that this map which goes in completion actually has enough north the direction will be well defined.
It makes sense, but I don't know how to see it directly. I don't know.
But is it true, or do you know it's true?
No, I don't know. I have no doubts, but I never checked. Yeah. Okay. This third definition, some modular interpretation. Instead of the rational curve we had before, we will consider some nodal rational curve when we glue 0 and infinity. Then we'll consider some modular problem on this nodal curve. Now, the Jacobian of this curve is not trivial. You have to identify the fibers at 0 at infinity, so you get C star. Because of this, when you take the Cartan bundles of degree 0, this will be identified with Cartan itself. And inside Cartan, we have the regular part, just the complement to the root hypertori. So the moduli problem I am speaking of is the moduli of first G bundles, T bundles in this regular part. Trivialization at infinity, at this singular point. I can consider the corresponding G bundle, just induce it to G bundle, consider the all the possible flags in this G bundle. Okay, and I want it to have degree alpha. Okay, and then I can take the associated graded bundle. And then I also want to trivialize that at the singular point. Okay. So this is, well, it's not quite X alpha. It's some intermediate space.
You're not acquiring something intermediate between the stretch trivialization infinity.
Let me say that this should be whatever transversal phi at a singular point is transversal to some standard. Because it's trivialized, I can say that it's transversal to.
But it's not fixed.
Not fixed, but so some open condition, generalistic condition. Okay, now, we have. Map from here to to one t times t regular because we can take this associated graded bundle and also we remember our original bundle. We also have the action of t times t, just by changing these two trivializations at infinity.
Sorry, what is it in 1 t c plus times t reg?
Uh-huh.
I see.
We can take the associated graded to this flag, and also we started from some t bundle of degree zero. Okay, so there is such a projection. And the torus acts in two ways. Let me call it P and Q projection. We can change the trivialization of the original T bundle at infinity or of the associated graded T bundle at infinity. Okay. And what we also have is a projection from this to the rational Zastava, like this. How does it come about? We take this bundle and we lift it to the normalization, which is just P1. So above this point, there are infinity and zero. Now, on the P1, the G bundle is trivial and T bundle is trivial, and its trivialization at the point C, say, viewed as trivialization at infinity, extends through the whole P1. And then this flag gives us a flag at P1. And so we're almost in Zastava. But now, because we want it to be transversal to B plus at this point, it will be transversal to B plus also at zero. And because of this, we land inside this open part. Yeah, so since we have trivialization at infinity, okay, let me see that as, okay, you're right. Let me see that as just equal to this. Okay, it's even better. Uh-huh. But since it was transversal to B plus, it'll be still transversal to B plus at zero after this extending trivialization. So we will actually land inside x alpha inside of here. Okay, and now. Again, I don't know, but would very much like to know this. So if I can say this, I will be just happy.
No, I'm not sure because this is for general group, right?
Uh huh.
Would you think you're writing is for general group?
Yes, absolutely, for a general group. Yes. Mm-hmm. So the proposition I want to make is that if you take any point in here, any regular T bundle of degree zero, you take the fiber of our moduli space over this point, and then you divide by the second torus action, this will be always isomorphic to x alpha. So x alpha is a sort of quasi-Hamiltonian reduction of y alpha. But I want to mention that the similar construction to what I had there equips y alpha with a bivector field. But this bivector field is not Poisson. It does not satisfy Jacobi identity. But it does descend to x alpha, and there it becomes Poisson. No, I mean, it's already symplectic. So if you do this on x alpha, it's already symplectic. And I will write down the formula for the structure. Uh-huh. So it is symplectic. The formula is very similar to this one, namely the brackets of WIR and YJS will be the square of the corresponding root. It will be quadratic. So WIRYJS. And in y coordinates, the bracket will be again, very similar. Take the product of y coordinates, and then WIR plus WJS over WIR minus WJS. Okay, and so again, I is not equal to J, and everything else commutes. Okay, and one more thing about this symplectic structure is that now we can consider the affine flag variety over Grassmannian. So this was the loop group over the current subgroup, and this is the loop group over the Ibahori subgroup
of the current group. So this is a projection with a fiber of usual finite dimensional flag variety. And yes? Yes. Here?
No, the numerator.
Ah.
This is very.
But you see, eventually it will appear to have cluster structure, and so the breakage should rather be quadratic, logarithmically constant, quadratic at least. And this is quadratic. You see, it degrees 1 plus 1 plus 1 minus 1. And with square root here, it will be not. So. No?
I'm trying to compare with what I would have seen from the Coulomb branch of the measurement of the theory. But it might just be you can change variables that I'm not recognizing.
So, is the conclusion about the form of the structure?
Now in trigonometric variables, I would expect that 1 over sinh, but here there is tanh. Very good tanh.
But how the thing is supposed to be kind of variational, it should be the same as just torus times. It's always torus times the dual torus quotient by the dual group.
Yes.
Yes.
And this is what this thing is.
But I said just the Poisson.
Right, torus times the dual torus is natural Poisson fracture, or split fracture.
Yes.
Which is more or less, well, it's not exactly this, but you can actually make some change of variables so that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, time to figure out the change of variable.
No, but the change of variables can not really. It depends on the
orientation.
Orientation of the
or the yes.
Diagram. So it depends on the orientation of the Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
After you choose orientation, which means that you choose a Lagrangian bleeding of the representation, then you can change the variables.
In fact, you can also introduce some universal change of variables, but this will really employ square roots.
Okay.
There is one change of variables, yeah. But the one depending on
will the numerator go away?
Everything will go away. This will go away totally after this change of variables. But this will have some square roots. But
yes.
if you make some change of variables depending on orientation, then it will be rational, not algebraic, but. Okay. Now this loop algebra also has another trigonometric R matrix. Which also comes from Mannian triple. In fact, this Mannian triple is in some extension with finite dimensional Cartan. And this gives rise to a Poisson structure on the flag variety. And again, for this, a fine flag variety, I like here. Uh-huh. And the finite one is just curly B. For this Poisson structure, the slices in flag variety, like this, will be Poisson subvarieties. So now the fixed point set of Cartan torus here is numbered by the affine Weyl group, which is a semi-direct product of the finite Weyl group and the core root lattice, lambda. If we take some two elements in the affine Weyl group, but one bigger than the other in the Brewer order, then we can consider the slice like this, which is the product of the Ivar-Hori orbit of W and the opposite Ivar-Hori orbit of y. Okay, so these are Poisson subvarieties in this affine flag variety. And now there is a following theorem. So recall that W naught was the longest element in the finite wild group. So if I have two co-weights lambda and mu, as I had before, I can lift them in the affine wild group, just multiplying them by W naught. Like this. And I can take this slice, and it will certainly project onto the slice in Grassmannian, like this, which we know goes to some compactified Zastava, the usual Zastava. But now inside we have a trigonometric Zastava, an open subspace. And then this composition factors through an isomorphism to trigonometric Zastava, which is in fact a symplectomorphism. So this is another meaning of this Poisson structure on trigonometric Zastava. Let me make a couple more comments. So first, you see, you end up in the same Zastava space for different lambda and mu. If you shift simultaneously both lambda and mu by something, you will end up in the same space. But maybe even before this, let me say that these slices in the flag variety, they're also called Richardson varieties. Have a cluster structure. It's due to Leclerc and Yakimov. And so using this isomorphism, we can just transfer them to the trigonometric Zastava. This is something advanced, but there is a simple case. In case y is the beginning of W, this means that W is the product of y times say u, and the length of W is the length of y plus length of u, then say the initial cluster is formed by the generalized minors which means that there's a matrix coefficients of extremal vectors in the integrable, in fact, in the fundamental integrable representations of the corresponding affine Lie algebra. And
since our W and Y are of particular sort, this simple case when W contains Y in the beginning corresponds to the case when alpha is dominant. As a coweight of G. So say for SL2, there is no condition. Any positive integer is dominant. But for starting from a higher rank, from SL3 already, it means something. Say for SL3, alpha, which is alpha 1 plus alpha 2, is dominant. But 3 alpha 1 plus alpha 2 is not non-dominant. In this case, we started with these fancy Hankel minors, which corresponds to SL2. You can really check that these are just generalized minors of SL2 hat, of the basic representations of SL2 hat. This is a generalization of the Gechtmann, Shapira, Weinstein class structure for the general case. And the comment I wanted to make is that we can choose lambda and mu in different ways. Suppose now alpha is dominant. Say alpha is lambda. Then we can take just flat variety slice like this. This will be isomorphic to X alpha. But we can now shift everything like this. And this will also isomorphic to the same trigonometric Zastava space. So hence, these two are isomorphic. But now each carries its own cluster structure. This isomorphism does not respect cluster structure. Namely, it already changes the frozen variables. So let me write some explicit formula for SL2 case. There is an automorphism eta sub nu of trigonometric Zastava, which takes one cluster structure to the other. For SL2, let me write down. First of all, it's generated just by one. The root lattice is one dimensional, so I should just give up one automorphism. In terms of these polynomials, Q and R, this will be the same Q. And now, what do you do with R? You first multiply it with the variable z, so it has the bigger degree. But then you multiply q with the leading coefficient of r, so r a minus 1 q minus z times r, like this. In fact, this formula is very similar to what you wrote down before lunch. So I wonder if it somehow extends to some discrete. Your formula was from so this is from X alpha to itself, but you have some formulas from X
a minus 1 to x alpha, to xa. And maybe they all together generate some discrete, I don't know even what, SL2z or what.
So this should correspond to moving away the singular
molecule. I don't know. But there is some.
So there was W and there was V. So this is
yes.
Lowest V and not W. So
yes.
This is lowest W and not V.
Well, this lowers nothing. It's an automorphism of the same x alpha, x a. But your thing did lower, yes.
No, but it's really trying to relate the singular monospaces, single mono, we have, right? I mean, here you're using the isomorphism between the GR and x.
No, I'm not. Why? There are just non-singular monopoles, the usual monopoles, are they? Also, from the point of view of Williams-Cauty's conjecture, this equivariant coherent K ring was commutative, but in fact, the category, the monoidal category of coherent perverse sheaves. Is not commutative. And it does have rigidity, though, but it has separately right rigidity and left rigidity. And the ratio of two the rigidities is this twist. I don't know what does it mean, but it's a fact of life. Okay. What did we? There was this conjecture of Cauty's and Williams about this monoidal categorification of the Gechtmann-Shapiro-Weinstein cluster structure. Saying that the equivariant K group of the Grassmannian of GLA was the ring of functions on this trigonometric Zastava. And now the category of equivariant perverse coherent sheaves of the Grassmannian is not commutative, though its K-ring is. So its situation is very similar to representations of affine quantum groups. There are left and right rigidities. So it says that from whatever a tensor B to C will be the same as from A to whatever C tensor B. But also you can have another rigidity when you have the star to the left, and they will be different here. But there are two auto equivalences. But different. So there is the ratio, which is another auto equivalence. And on K theory, it gives you this twist eta. One other last comment I wanted to make is about Gaiota-Witten superpotential. It means that, say, when you take. Say O over 2 on this minuscule G of O orbit, which is just P1. What does commutative mean? There's a sort of there's an R matrix that the tensor product in one direction is isomorphic, but here if you take the convolution of O of 2.
Sorry, I haven't.
Yes. So if you have commutativity, then if you have rigidity on the one side, it will be automatically rigidity on the other side. But here it's not true. But here yeah, there are left duals and right duals, and they're different.
So the left dual of a right dual is delta
squared. Yes, right, right. Uh-huh. Okay. Yes?
And the little of the Y's and W coordinates, this transformation multiplies the W's by Y's.
Yes. So in particular, it takes the resultant of R and Q goes to zero times resultant. So it does not preserve cluster variables. I'll have to go away, yeah? So I just want to say one thing, that we, in case of SL2, there is this Goethe-Witten superpotential on the product of Zastava and some additional configurations. It also makes sense for arbitrary groups G. And the formula in case of SL2 is this simple. And this is just a frozen variable. But the observation is that this is positive in this cluster structure when all kappa i's are positive. And I, again, I don't understand the meaning of this, but it's another fact of life. So on the positive cone of this cluster structure, it's always positive. Thank you very much.